Robust income growth and an aging population are driving the fastest growing healthcare market in the world. From vaccine development to innovative drugs and biotechnology, China's healthcare companies have been expanding rapidly, outpacing some of the world's leading industry players. My name is Marije Groen, and in this podcast, I talk with Chris Liu, Senior Portfolio Manager at Invesco Asia Pacific, about the opportunities that the Chinese healthcare industry offers to investors. Chris has over 17 years of experience in the asset management industry and over 10 years of experience in research and investment of China A shares. Joining us from China is Chris. Hi there, Chris. Welcome. Great to have you.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to have you. Chris, let's start with the basics. What exactly do we mean by the healthcare industry in China? Which sectors and which companies are we talking about?
Well, China healthcare sector is such a big industry that have quite a few different subsectors, including, first of all, medical device, which is basically, you know, the medical equipments used in hospitals and also those, you know, medical consumables for the patients. And secondly, a pharmaceutical subsector, which includes, you know, generic drug makers, innovative drug makers, and also some traditional Chinese medicine makers. And the third sector is basically CRO, CDMO. It's the companies that are doing R&D outsourcing business across different phases of drug development. And then we have medical service subsector. It's basically the private hospital chains listed in the markets. And also we have drug retail subsector. It's basically drug store chains.
Okay, so that's a lot altogether. Could you perhaps give us some key figures to clarify the size of all of this, of the Chinese healthcare industry?
Sure. You know, China A-share healthcare industry is a huge industry. It has more than $1 trillion U.S. dollar market cap and also have close to 400 listed healthcare companies.
Wow, huge. What would you say, Chris, is the role of the government in the healthcare industry in China?
Well, the government mainly plays a role in the areas of, you know, drug approval and also drug price regulations. So basically, there are two regulatory bodies. The first one is called China National Medical Products Administration, which is responsible for drug approval. The other one is called National Healthcare Security Administration, which is responsible for drug price regulations.
Okay. And is there a division between public and private companies?
There are some divisions, but I think for most of the subsectors we are talking about, such as, you know, pharmaceuticals, medical device, vaccines, drug retails, etc., private companies are dominating those industries. Only for the medical service subsector, you know, well, public hospitals still, you know, dominate, you know, market share. But no public hospitals are listed in the stock market. So what we can find are those, you know, private, you know, hospital chains listed.
Okay, clear. Yeah. So those are the ones that you invest in, basically, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I can imagine that the domestic investments in the Chinese healthcare industry have increased quite spectacularly last year. What has been the effect of COVID-19 on the entire sector?
Yeah, obviously, COVID-19 have had big impact on the healthcare sector in China. First of all, you know, because China, you know, had the COVID-19 under control very soon after the pandemic taking place. So, you know, China's production actually recovered very, very earlier, so that, you know, Chinese healthcare sector actually benefited quite a lot from a very strong export demand of those, you know, medical supplies. And secondly, we see that, you know, many medical device companies in China actually benefited strongly from a domestic COVID testing demand. And also the Chinese vaccine players also benefited very strongly from recent massive, COVID vaccination in China, and also some of the exports of the COVID vaccines to other countries as well.
Right. Talking a bit more about that test capacity that you mentioned, the Netherlands is a small country. We only have 17 million inhabitants. And when COVID-19 hit Europe, the government actually struggled creating sufficient test capacity. 1.1 billion people live in China. Big, big difference. How does China manage to test its population during the pandemic?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I think so far, China has already managed to vaccinate 1 billion doses of COVID vaccines to Chinese people already. And, you know, recently, there were some, you know, newly affected cases in two cities in Guangdong province. One is Shenzhen, where I'm living, and the other one is Guangzhou. So these two city governments actually managed to test overall 30 million people in just less than 1 week time, you know, basically through a very excellent and very, you know, effective organization capabilities, you know, down to the, you know, community levels.
Amazing. And so many and super quick as well within a week's time. Looking more at the long term, which factors are fueling the growth of the industry, would you say, Chris?
Yeah, actually, there are overall five long-term drivers for China healthcare sector. You know, first of all, demographics. As you might all know, that you know, China has a huge population, you know, over 1.4 billion people, which is aging very, very fast. And we actually expect that by 2050, there are going to be more old people than young people in China. So that really, you know, bodes well for the demand for healthcare products and services. And second driver is the affordability, improved affordability. As you might know that, you know, back to 2019, I think the GDP per capita of China has already passed $10,000. And we are seeing a huge, you know, middle class emerging, especially in those, you know, tier one and tier two cities. So this definitely helped the Chinese people to afford much better quality healthcare products and services in the future. And the third driver is basically the Chinese companies are climbing up the technology curve, especially in the medical device area. We are seeing many Chinese companies are able to produce very good quality medical equipment, medical device, but at a much attractive price. The fourth driver is the healthcare reform. So basically, in recent years, regulators on one hand accelerated approving more and more innovative drugs. And on the other hand, they also actually are cutting prices for those generic drugs. So which really helped to push the Chinese companies to spend more money on R&D to develop more innovative drugs. And the last driver, which is the improved access to capital. So both in Hong Kong and in Shanghai stock exchanges, in recent years, we are seeing that they relaxed the listing requirements for biotech companies. So we're going to see more and more good quality biotech companies to be listed in these two stock exchanges.
Right. And what would you say then, Chris, is the investment potential given all of these growth prospects?
Well, China healthcare sector is probably one of the fastest growing sectors in China, with around, you know, 15% annual growth rates. And many subsectors, you know, like medical device, you know, CRO, CDMO, medical services, are actually delivering much higher than the 15% growth rates. So that just to give you a sense that, you know, how large the growth potential is for China healthcare sector.
Let's talk a bit more, Chris, about the investment universe. In which sectors do you invest?
We actually like subsectors that I have mentioned before, those ones that are, have a much higher, you know, growth rates than the industrial average, including, you know, medical device, medical services, CRO, CDMO, and some of the innovative drug makers as well.
And which are the conditions that the companies in your portfolio must meet, for example, in terms of revenue growth, return on equity, or market cap?
Of course, we are having a screening model to narrow down that investment universe. We are using parameters, you know, like ROE, average revenue growth rates, etc. And also because Asian market is a very liquid market, so we are looking at all caps, including large cap, mid cap, and small caps.
And perhaps maybe to illustrate that, could you share an example of how you come to the selection of a specific stock?
Yes, actually, we are using a what we call a FVMC research model to do fundamental analysis on all the stocks that they want to put into the portfolios. The franchise value is basically the competitive advantages we are looking for in different subsectors. For example, in the biotech subsectors, the competitive advantages that we are looking for is the company's R&D capabilities. So the parameters like, R&D expenses as a percentage of revenue is the things that we are looking at. While for other subsectors, for example, like drug retail, we are looking for different competitive advantages. In this case is the distribution channels and also the financial strength, whether the company have enough financial resources to do M&As, in such a fragmented subsector. While valuations, we actually are using different valuation methods. For example, for biotech subsector and for medical service subsector, we are using DCF models. While for other more mature subsectors like drug retail and others, we are using PE, PEG, etc. While the other two factors, management quality and cash generation capabilities, we think are the two most important factors for the long-term sustainability of the earnings growth of those healthcare companies.
And let's talk a bit more, Chris, about the team behind all this. As I said in the introduction, you are joining us from China, and Invesco has an underground investment team of over 80 professionals based both in Hong Kong and the Chinese mainland. What would you say, Chris, is the added value of a local presence?
Yes, we actually have a very strong, dedicated healthcare research team here in Shenzhen, mainland China. So basically, they can help us providing very good on the ground insights on China healthcare sector, and also it's much more convenient for our research team to do company visits to talk to the management, company management in China.
And finally, a last topic of today is ESG, of course, very hot topic. The attention for ESG has increased significantly among European investors in recent years. At the same time, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, China does not have the best reputation when it comes to ESG. Doesn't that maybe threaten a negative impact on investor appetite for investments in the Chinese healthcare industry?
Well, I think the Chinese regulators in recent years actually have done quite a lot, trying to improve the ESG situation, ESG disclosures of the listed companies. And the recent, government commitment on carbon neutrality also really shows the determination to improve ESG issues in China. And for the China healthcare sector specifically, I think the ESG, the environmental issue is much less important. So the main focus is on G and S. So for some of the upstream sectors, such as, pharmaceutical, and also some of the medical device companies, the bribery seems to be the biggest, governance problem. But in recent years, the government has started, reforms on public hospitals to actually separate the medical treatment from the drug sales. So, and at the same time, also increased the, medical treatment compensations for doctors to reduce the risk of, taking bribes on drug sales. While on those downstream sectors, such as, drug retails, including, some of the newly listed online drug retails, and also the healthcare service sectors, such as, those private hospital chains, data privacy is the main ESG issue for them. But I think recently, regulators also tightened up the regulations on those data privacy issues as well.
Can you say a bit more on that, on those data privacy issues?
Yeah, basically it's the patient's data, will be, installed in those their databases. For example, like those online drug retailers, they obviously will have some, data privacy issues over there. I think, recently the Chinese regulators actually tightened up not only the technology, those online technology platforms, but also these online healthcare companies as well.
Okay, so both in terms of ESG as well as the data protection that you just mentioned, things are improving in China.
That's right.
Thank you very much for this conversation, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast about the opportunities that the Chinese healthcare industry offers to investors. I would like to thank today's guest, Chris Liu, Senior Portfolio Manager, Invesco Asia Pacific, for his time and his insights. This podcast was offered to you by Invesco Management. For more podcasts, please visit the Fonds News or Investment Officer websites, fondsnews.nl/podcast or investmentofficer.be/podcast.